Well, good morning, church. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. I trust that you are well. I trust that you are staying safe, and I trust that you are being careful, mindful, but not fearful. Let's pray. Let's invite God to be present with us through the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. And we thank you, Father God, that if you are for us, who can be against us? Lord, your word says that any weapon forged against us, your people, Father God, will not prosper. So we thank you, Father God, for your grace in our lives. Bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is a time where we would normally go into worship. I will see if we can get some worship for next week. I'll have a conversation with Emma. And also we can take up our offering. It'll be a virtual offering. Maybe you can do what you normally do, but hand it to the Lord at a later date. Today, we're going to be looking at truth. And when we think about truth, well, there's a lot on the news at the moment about news, fake news. Who do we believe? What do we believe? When we look in our newspapers, what do we believe? What is truth? And I want to bring one or two scriptures and just encourage you to delve a bit deeper into that word truth. Know the truth, the Bible says, and the truth will set you free. The more truth that we know, the more freedom that we will have. It just makes sense, doesn't it? Although it seems strange for me speaking into a camera and you listening to me speaking into a camera, God's word is still God's word. So I want to encourage you, if there's anyone listening to this in Grace Church or friends and family of Grace Church, and you're vulnerable or you feel isolated, then please get in contact with us. Use the church website. We're here to help. We are blessed as a people so that we can be a blessing to others. That includes you. So I want to read one or two scriptures, and I want to look in 1 Kings 17. I was challenged with this story and encouraged by this story. One or two things came out to me when I'm speaking about truth, and that's the thing that I believe the Lord has placed on my heart for this week. It's about truth, about being trustworthy and knowing the truth. And there's a story about Elijah and the great drought. Many of you may be familiar with that. If you're not, then in 1 Kings 17, you can read the account of what happened here. And there was many people in the region worshipping other gods. And one of the gods they used to worship was the god of the weather. You know, you worship sun, you worship moon, you worship rain, and the rain gods. And Elisha prayed to the Lord, and there became a drought. And I want to pick it up in 17 verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Remember, Elijah had prayed that there would be no rain, and there was no rain. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I will direct a widow there to supply you with food." Now just picture this at the moment. Elijah had to trust the word of God. That's the first incident of being trustworthy, or trusting what God is saying. And to be able to trust God, we need to know his voice, don't we? Even in Genesis, where God comes down and he says, "Adam, where are you?" Adam knew God's voice. So for me and you, if we're going to really trust God, we need to know his voice. We need to know his word. We need to know what the truth is. So that's what my message is all about. He was directed to go, and he was going to be supplied food by a stranger. He was going to a pagan part of the world. He didn't know what he was going to encounter, but he had to get to the understanding, was this word from God, and was God speaking the truth? And it says, "And stay there, I have directed." God was talking to him. "I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." Now, widows in any part of the world in those days were seen as poor. They were poor. They were on their own. They were trying to look after their families themselves without a husband. So not only was he being asked to go and trust God that a widow, a poor woman, would supply his needs, he was going into a pagan environment. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, A widow there was gathering sticks. She had to be very, very poor. She didn't even have kindling at home. There she was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" Just get the picture. There's a drought. There's a drought. And he's asking one of the poorest people in the region to bring him a drink. Water in a drought. This is where he had to trust God's word. And for you, if you ever walk into a drought situation, you need to truly know what the truth is, don't you? So that's my encouragement for us today. Let's get to know what the truth is. Let's understand how we recognize the truth. How we understand when we hear the truth, when we see the truth. He called out to her, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" Then he goes on to say, she was going to get it, and he called, "Oh, and by the way, bring me a piece of bread." Here's a famine. Here's a drought. There isn't much around. And he's saying to this poor woman, "Bring me a drink and bring me something to eat." And he said this all because God had said, and he trusted the word of God, "If you go, I will supply." And I want to say to you as a church, to me as a church, to you as an individual, when God speaks the truth to you, you can trust him. You can trust him. "As surely as the Lord your God lives." She understood there were many gods, but she also understood that this was a man of God, the God of creation. "As surely as your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And this is how severe the famine was. This individual was in the town gate area when Elijah walked in. God had spoken to him. He'd heard God's voice. He believed it to be true, and he became obedient. Now, we have the hindsight. We have the blessing that we can read the rest of the story, but the widow didn't know the end of the story, nor did Elijah. And there comes a time for me and you on our journey, as we walk and we listen, we will have the opportunity to truly gauge whether we're hearing the truth, seeing the truth, speaking the truth, living the truth. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small loaf of bread and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." What he was asking her to do was to trust him. He was saying to her, "Take what you have, as small as it is, give it to me first, and then you have what's left." Big, big, big ask, wasn't it? "You take the little that you have and you give to me, and then keep the rest for yourself." So in this time of uncertainty, church, in this time of we don't know, we can, as Christians, either believe God's word to be true or not. We can, as those that are on a journey, if you're not a Christian, a follower of Christ, if you haven't asked for forgiveness, then you too can make that choice to either trust God or not. So here's this woman on her last meal. She's going to die anyway. And here's a man of God coming to her and saying, "Give me something to drink. Give me something to eat." And then he goes on to say and reveal what God has revealed to him. "The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So here again, we're talking about truth. We're talking about trust, which is part of truth. To trust somebody, to believe them that they're saying what is the truth. "She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour did not was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman became ill, and there's another story there. It's all about trust. What God has started, he'll bring through to completion. So in this story, there's many things that we could say. And I want to pause here and say one or two things. One, God has spoken to Elijah. Elijah was a man of God. He represented God here on earth. This is before Jesus came and died and the curtain was ripped in two. And he said, it's finished. We now have access through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have access. But before that event, God used to use men to speak his word. And Elijah was one of his prophets. And this woman had the choice to believe him or not. Is this man from God? And is this man speaking the truth? And as Christians today, me and you, we still have that same opportunity. When we hear someone speaking God's word, are they speaking God's word? And are they speaking the truth of God's word? So it's a challenge for me and you today. In Psalm 119, verse 41, it says this: may your unfailing love come to me, Lord. The psalmist, just picture of where he is. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord. Your salvation according to your promise. God had made a promise here, and he's asking him to keep his promise. First of all, we need to acknowledge that it's God speaking before we can pray the promises of God in. Is God's word trustworthy? Then I can answer everyone who taunts me. For I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. See, for us, for you and me, we put our trust in God. Yes? It's times like this when I look out the window and the sun is shining, but there's not much traffic on the roads. Life is completely different to what it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that true? You need to examine your own heart. You need to examine God's word. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to you. Because it's in times like this that we truly need to stand on the rock. Because the rock will not fail, but the sand will sink. So we're talking about truth today. John 17:15 says this: my prayer — this is Jesus praying here — read the scripture before and read the scripture afterwards and find the context in which Jesus is saying this. But he's talking about his disciples. He's saying, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth of your word, for your word is truth. Do you believe Jesus is true? Do you believe these words? If you do, then we are sanctified by the truth of God's word. God's word will set me and you apart. So we're in the world, but not of the world. Can I encourage you to seek the truth, to find the truth, to pray, not just to listen to someone like myself and say, well, it must be true because the pastor is saying it. Look into God's word for yourself. In this portion of scripture, Jesus said, they are not of the world, that's me and you, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, God, talking to his Father here, sanctify them by the truth of your word. For your word is truth. Jesus talks many times to encourage our people. In John 18, verse 37, it says this: you are a king then, said Pilate. Now, the picture here is this. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and the crowds want to crucify him. They want Jesus dead, not because of the bad things he's done, but because of the righteousness that he represents. He doesn't see Caesar as king, he sees his Father as king. And Caesar asks him a question. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world was to testify to the truth. He came into the world to testify about the truth of God's promise for creation. God will never leave us or forsake us. God so loved the world that he gave Christ to pay for our sin. He came in to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So just imagine when Jesus was walking on the earth. People had the opportunity to listen to him. And many, many, many thousands of people did listen. Many thousands of people accepted until trouble, trial and turbulence came into the world. And then many departed. But listen to what Jesus says. I testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Do you listen to what God is saying through Christ Jesus, through his word, through the Holy Spirit? And then Pilate says something very interesting. But Jesus doesn't answer him. He says this in 38. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. What is truth? So when I put that thought to you, when I say we want to talk about truth today, you could say the same thing. Well, what is truth? When we look and when we read and when we listen to what's being told us, we should ask that same question. What is truth? And so for me and you, we need to look into God's word to find out what truth is. When we look at John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus says. My Father's house had many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. Is that true? Is Jesus going to prepare a place for me and you for an eternal resting place? Is there a heaven? Is that true? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am, that you also may be where I go. You know the way to the place where I am going. Is that true? Do you know the way to the place where Jesus is going? Now Thomas, and we understand Thomas is doubting Thomas. Thomas wanted evidence. He wanted proof. He wanted to see the scars. He wanted to truly understand. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying here, if you want to know the truth, you need to know me. If you want to know the truth, church, you need to know Christ Jesus. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in the world that we live in, there are many small incidences where people will say the right thing in the wrong context. It sounds like truth, but it's actually a lie. There are many opportunities that we have to hear preachers, teachers, apostolic, and they say things that sound true, but unless we weigh them up with God's word, we won't truly know if it is the truth. You see, Jesus says, everyone on the side of truth will listen to me, meaning Christ. Everyone on the side of truth will listen to what God says about a subject, what God says about morality, what God says about sexuality, what God says about the way we give, the way we receive, the way we forgive. Truth, I believe in these days, like any other day in the life of us as Christians, is important. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the fact is, friend, that you can't get to God unless you go through Christ, because he is the way. And that's the truth. So I want you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, you may be saying to yourself, why is Andrew preaching on truth? We're Christians, we know the truth. I'm glad you asked. Because it's good to be reminded, isn't it? Because there are times where fear can take over our faith. We know that. We're all fearful at times, but fear will not be perfected unless it produces the fruit of fear. So it's okay for us to question. It's okay for us to be anxious sometimes. And I know it seems strange for me saying that, but how will we know what's good if we don't experience what's bad? How would we know what's up if we don't experience what's down? Now, I've heard people talk about this crisis over the last weeks, and they use words like, this feels like hell. Well, it's nothing like hell. Hell is a eternal place of torment. This is just an inconvenience. Yes, some people are losing their lives. But God loves them enough to give them the choice to choose life. And when we talk about these scriptures, it's telling us here, it's giving us hope, friends, it's giving us truth that when we die, we live. If we lose our life here in this world, we gain it in the world to come. Jesus says himself, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's good news. Is that true? If you believe it is, then where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? That's why I'm bringing this message, because we need to know the truth. Yes, we want to be prosperous while we're in this world. But whether we are well-fed or hungry, it's about being content. And Jesus teaches us, he tells us, that if we believe the truth, we'll listen to him. And if we listen to him, we'll be blessed. Then Jesus told him, in verse 29 of John 20, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. And it's easy to believe in something that you can see and you can touch. But when someone else tells you about something, are they telling you the truth? But Jesus goes on to say this, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. That's where our faith comes in. Now, the truth is found in Christ Jesus. We read about Christ by looking into his word and listening to what God says through the Holy Spirit. We have a truth radar that's on the inside. Jesus himself said, blessed are those that have not seen yet have believed. So what are we believing in, church? Are we believing in our own ability? Is that truth? Or are we believing in what Jesus has said about himself? What Jesus has said about the Holy Spirit? What Jesus has said about his Father? And most importantly at this time, what Jesus has said about salvation? All those that repent and turn from their way and serve Yahweh, and that's the name of Elijah, is Yahweh is God. God is who he says he is. That's the first truth that we have read about. Then me and you will truly be blessed, because we haven't seen him, but we've experienced him. We've heard him. So truth is important as we look through the subject today. In 1 John 2:3, it says this, we know that we have come to know him. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. It's okay to hear what God says, but if God asks us to do something, we need to make it into an action. So Elijah heard the voice of God. Yes? He heard the voice of God. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't where the miracle came into being. The miracle came into being when he did what God called him to do. He left that place. Surely it'd be better for him to be by a dry brook than go into a pagan town and ask one of the most poorest people of that town to feed him. He might as well have stayed where he was, but he didn't. He became obedient. You see, the truth will manifest in our lives when we do what God calls us to do. Let me read that again. Verse 3 of 1 John 2. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. I don't know about you, but I want the truth in me. So let's start doing what God calls us to do. What's God's word challenging with now? The widow had the opportunity to serve God's plans and purposes first, to feed the very person that God called her to feed, and then feed herself. She became obedient. And she understood who Elijah was. She understood the God of Israel. She had that belief in the God of Israel. But she didn't just hear what God said, she did what God said. So Elijah was obedient by going to ask. The woman was obedient by bringing the water and bringing the bread. And then the abundance came. The blessing came. The oil did not run out. The jar was not empty. So there's a lesson, I believe, for me and you in this. My final scripture is in Romans 10, starting at verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that true? Is that true? Does salvation come from a heart response and a mouth response? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. The word justified is just as if I'd never sinned at all. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's bad news. The good news is the gift of God is life and life in all its fullness. How do we find that life? I'm glad you asked. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, after you've believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Is that true? Read what God says in verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So whether you're Jew or you're Gentile, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're tall or whether you're short, this word is for you. It's truth. The same Lord is Lord of all, the rich, and he richly blesses all who call on him. Is that true? Have you called on him? If not, why don't you call on him today? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The everyone is you. That's true. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. This word of truth is for you. Whether you're a Christian, been a Christian for a long time or a very short time. Whether you're on a journey. Whether you've just made a decision to repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life because of the word of truth. He wants to richly bless you so that you can be a rich blessing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? So the woman, the widow woman, wouldn't have heard the word of the Lord if Elijah hadn't have been sent. Elijah wouldn't have been sent if he didn't belong to God. If he wasn't obedient to what God had told him to do, he wouldn't have gone. So how would that woman have heard the word of salvation? Not just the word of spiritual salvation, but the word of physical, natural, emotional, spiritual, and financial salvation. How would she have heard if someone hadn't have said? How would have someone have communicated to her if they hadn't have been sent? That's why we preach God's word. That's why we listen to ministry. That's why we read the Bible. God has sent the Holy Spirit to comfort you because he knows that you need comfort. God has sent the Holy Spirit to convict you because he knows that you need to be convicted of your sins so that you can be saved. That's the truth of God's word. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want to leave it there. I want to simply say that God has a good news message for you. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message heard through the word about Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. The truth of the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. The truth of salvation is all about Jesus Christ. So whether you've been a Christian a long time or a short time or just for the first time, this word is for you. It's true. So as we go into these days and weeks of uncertainty, be certain of this. God never changes. Be certain of this. His promises are for you. But we are to be hearers and doers, not just doers and not just hearers. We're to take his word at face value that it's true. Weigh it up and implement it into our lives. As we have an opportunity, because we're in lockdown, we can pray more. That's true. We can seek his face. That's true. We can give thanks for one another. That's true. We can accept his grace. That's true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, that your word is true. We thank you, Father God, that you are the rock in which we build upon. We thank you, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins when we ask. We thank you, Lord, that you remember our sins no more. Whether we are rich or poor, black or white, whatever we've done or not done, when we ask for forgiveness, you bring it. That's the truth of your word. Lord, you said yourself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My prayer, Father God, is for anyone listening to our message today, we'll have a fresh revelation of truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, be blessed and be a blessing.